Fox Sports Radio.
You know, there are some people out there that are going to try and tell you they are not into seeing any of the drama, any of the chaos. They just want everything to be smooth. They want the best of the best. They don't want any shenanigans. And I'm going to call those people out as liars through and through. And we'll get into all that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to this show, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever you are, making us a part of your Saturday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up until noon Eastern time, 9 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. Yes, indeed, it is Conference Championship Saturday, baby. Let's go. It is Conference Championship Saturday. Everybody fired up. We have got ourselves games throughout the course of the day. We've got reputations on the line. We've got unreasonable fan bases. And this is what else we've got. We've got potential chaos through and through. And if you're going to sit here and you're going to tell me, I just want the best of the best. I want the four best teams to get in. I just want it to be 1 through 4. And I want it all color-coded. And I want everything to be squeaky clean. You are full of crap. You don't have to have a dog in the fight. You don't have to have a rooting interest. You don't even need to have a betting interest to look around and realize, oh, we might actually get to see multiple hearts ripped out of multiple chests from fan bases across the country based on what could potentially take place later on today. It's phenomenal. And don't pretend like you don't like it. Don't pretend like you're not into all this. I took a walk, a little stroll here. You know, it's in the 40s out here in Southern California. So for you guys on the East Coast right now, especially the Northeast that are listening to this show, in the Midwest listening to this show, I don't want to hear you crying about your sub 20 temperatures and your snow flurries and all the other stuff you guys have to deal with. It's like 40 something degrees out here. There's fog everywhere you look. And I'm walking around the neighborhood thinking to myself, it's Conference Championship Saturday. The only thing that would go better than this, than the cup of coffee I had in my hand about an hour ago, is pure chaos.
Oh, yes! Yes! Yes!
Why not? I mean, this is why college football presents to you this, to put a cherry on the sundae at the final Saturday every college football season. And we've got ourselves potential chaos at the ends of our hands here. We've got Notre Dame. Who doesn't want Notre Dame to get in? By hook or crook, who doesn't want Notre Dame to get in? Just to see the reaction of Baton Rouge Brian Kelly, who all of a sudden went from guy who starred on Departed, you know, because he was up in the Northeast, to guy in the Midwest at a Catholic school, to one of the stunt doubles from True Detective Season 1. Who doesn't want to see that? Just the reaction of Brian Kelly. He leaves a team because he doesn't think he can win a national championship. And that team, because of what we potentially could have happen just hours from now here on a Saturday, ends up in the college football playoff. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to see what happens if three of these four teams sitting in the top four end up losing, which is a very real possibility? Look, Michigan, it's not a shoo-in they're going to beat Iowa. I will tell you from a personal standpoint, I hope Michigan blows the doors off Iowa, because for two reasons. Number one, I'm tired of Jim Harbaugh being bullied, and this is all FSR related. This has everything to do with FSR. I'm tired of Jim Harbaugh being bullied by guys like Rob Parker, who have made a career spitting in the face of Jim Harbaugh's resume and the job he did since he's gotten to Ann Arbor. And secondly, Iowa Sam, who thank God he's not a part of this show today. Thank God Iowa Sam has nothing to do with this show today, unless maybe he does for the next several hours. I don't want to hear his crap about the Iowa Hawkeyes and Kirk Ferentz and Sean Green and all the other shenanigans that go on every single college football season. I know way too. Like, I don't need to know that Dallas Clark went to Iowa. I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that C.J. Beathard or Nate Sudfeld or whoever these guys are, Nate whatever his name is, whoever these guys are that went to Iowa. I don't need to know about all these random guys that went to Iowa. You want to know why I'm inundated with it? Because of that guy. So, of course, I'm sitting here watching, hey, man, it would be nice to see Michigan win. I kill two birds with one stone. Rob Parker's not going to bully my guy, Jim Harbaugh. And, yes, they've called me the Harbaugh washer for years and years now. And also, I don't got to deal with Iowa Sam's crap. Secondly, you look around and you go, this could be a potential landing spot for Jim Harbaugh, maybe at the NFL level. Maybe he parlays this into something. But let's be clear here. It's not a shoe-in that Michigan's going to beat Iowa. It's not a shoe-in that we're going to see all four teams advance, that all four teams are going to be sitting in the same spot at the end of all this. We don't know what's going to happen between Cincinnati and Houston. Maybe Houston wins. I'll be honest with you. I'm hoping Cincinnati loses. Why? Because I'm a sick bastard. Because I want to see all the crying and whining that people have done about Group of Five. Can they get a little bit of love? Give us some Group of Five for Cincinnati to get all the way to this point and then crap themselves on a big stage against Houston. Who doesn't want to see that? That's chaos. That's what this is all about. Here's the one thing that I will say, and this is a bit disturbing. It does feel, though, like the one that you look at and go, yeah, this seems like it's going to go in the direction that a lot of people feel like it's going to go, including the head coach of the team on the opposite sideline. It does kind of feel like Georgia's going to beat Alabama, right? Like, it does kind of feel like that. And if you don't believe me, and you're saying to yourself, why would you doubt Nick Saban? Why would you bet against or pick against Nick Saban? Why would you do that on a big-time stage against a Georgia team, against a former assistant, and all the other success he has had in the SEC over the past several years? This is the first time Alabama's been an underdog since 2015. Think about that. And this isn't a Georgia fan setting these lines. This isn't a sports book in Athens, Georgia, right outside the stadium, setting these lines. This isn't somebody who went to... These are people who watch these games, don't have a rooting interest, don't really care about the chaos like we've discussed here over the past several minutes. They're just simply looking at teams, looking at the situation, looking at a neutral field, and they're saying to themselves, yeah, Georgia's almost a touchdown favorite. If you include the extra point, Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite heading into this game with Alabama. That tells you all you need to know. And if you don't believe the people that don't have a rooting interest, the people that aren't involved in all this, the people that are sitting here telling you Georgia's a significantly better team on a neutral site, which is what they're saying is, if this game were being played at Georgia, Georgia would be even more favored. They're being played at a neutral site, and Georgia's a heavy favorite, and Alabama's never been an underdog since 2015, let alone by 6 or 6.5, depending on where you're shopping. But Nick Saban told me everything I needed to know. When they won the Iron Bowl against 6-win Auburn last week, Nick Saban was giddy on the sidelines. In the middle of the field, rather. Doing the post-game interview with CBS, he was happy. He was dancing afterwards. He was excited. Did his team play well? No. They were in a dogfight with a 6-win Auburn team in the Iron Bowl. It took them multiple overtimes, the 2-point variety, like we saw almost in Penn State, Illinois earlier this season, which, by the way, set offensive football near the goal line back 75 years. But never mind all that. Alabama, it took them several overtimes to beat 6-win Auburn and a 97-yard nuts-on-the-table drive by the Heisman front runner to win that game last Saturday. And Nick Saban was giddy. He couldn't contain his smile. He was laughing. He was dancing afterwards. He showed up on Snapface or InstaChat or whatever you want to call it. Players are doing selfie videos with Nick. He couldn't be more excited. I think Nick Saban realizes that was their national championship. That he realizes what he's got in store coming up against Georgia and realizes that's a problem. And maybe I don't have the horses this year to deal with that problem. Because if you're a guy who's built your reputation on it's not good enough, second we win a national title, second we have success, we've got to start looking towards the future, and that's your reaction winning a game like that when you didn't play well, one, it took a 97-yard drive in crunch time to even force overtime, two, and then once you got to overtime, it took several getting all the way to the two-point variety of overtime in college football for you to win that game, and he was thrilled. You never see Saban that excited. I think he realizes that was our national championship. This could be a problem. And it's not just Saban who realizes that. It's not just me who's speaking about it. It's the people that don't have a rooting interest, the people that aren't going to have their hearts ripped out if we do get the chaos. It's the people neutral sitting there watching both these teams all season that said, for the first time since 2015, not only is Alabama an underdog, they're a significant underdog at a neutral site in the SEC championship game. I can't wait. This is going to be a blast. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us and get me on Twitter at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. All right, it's coming up next. Somebody is speaking like they normally do in the NFL, but I've realized this might be the most frustrated group of people in all of sports. And you may be a part of this group. I'll tell you who you are next on FSR.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up a little over 10 minutes from now here on FSR, there's a real problem for many of you that are getting ready for a conference championship Saturday, a busy weekend in the NFL. This is also a busy weekend somewhere else, and it is something that a lot of us can relate to. Not everybody, but a lot of us can relate to. I will expose that issue that is currently going on. It's a countrywide problem, I think. We'll get to that here a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. The reviews, and all of them positive, are already rolling in here to FSR. As we take you all the way up to noon Eastern time, 9 o'clock Pacific. First and foremost, Arnie Spanier, who has FSR on 24 hours. In fact, I think he actually has it on 25 hours a day.
Wow.
Who spent the better part of a week in the law offices of Bitch and Moan about the fact that his Twitter account got hacked by some nerdy gaming site. Arnie Spanier decided to take a screenshot of the weather where he's at in Vermont, 24 degrees. I mean, listen, man, normal circumstances, I'd feel a little bit bad for Arnie, but I'm telling you, it's in the 40s out here in Southern California. Fog everywhere you look. I'm looking out my window right now. I can't see 3 feet in front of me.
Oh.
Looks like the Bears-Eagles fog bowl from back in the day. So I'm sorry, man. You can play the violin somewhere else. We got it worse than you guys do. It's basically Alaska out here. Like, I mean, the only difference between us and Deadliest Catch is, a bunch of crab boats and people that might have a drug problem. Just saying. Another guy writes in, you little L.A. media bitch bum hack ball washing cheerleader. Go put on your USC gear and bleep off to your new Lord Riley yelling fight on bleep smoking bleep.
What?
Hashtag fight on. So, USC fans up early, huge fans of the program thus far. I mean, it's it's unbelievable. By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover helps offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. You can continue the positive feedback at the Jonas Knox on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. And you can also take a glimpse at that last tweet that I just read. You can find it there. All right. So Jerry Jones, who does a, I think it was up to 2, 3, 4. I mean, at this point, why doesn't Jerry Jones just have his own sports talk radio show? I mean, he's doing 2 hits a week. Like, dude, figure out the other 3 days. So what are we waiting on here? I mean, everybody's got a podcast everywhere you turn. Like, why doesn't Jerry Jones just do his own radio show? But Jerry Jones was on The Fan in Dallas making the rounds yet again and, just sort of talking about his Dallas Cowboys and just, you know, it's the same thing he does every single week. And I'm not saying this. Listen, I'm not saying this to take a shot at Jerry Jones. I admire what Jerry Jones has done. I appreciate what he has done. He's the guy. If you want change implemented in the NFL, just look where Jerry Jones is. Like, I said it when the calls started getting really bad and there was the really egregious calls that were happening on Thanksgiving to the Dallas Cowboys. I thought to myself, all right, well, the fact that Jerry Jones complained about it means there might actually get some change get made here. You might actually see some of these calls start to go down a little bit, diminish, you know, in the future based on, you know, his power and influence and all that stuff. But Jerry Jones was talking on the Fan in Dallas, and he was talking about Ezekiel Elliott, and he was just saying, you know, Zeke's good to go. He's going to be ready to go the rest of the way. The people closest to him, they all think he's good to go. So after a 10-day rest, we should be ready to rock moving forward. Just, you know, all positive stuff about Zeke Elliott. Clarence Hill, who's covered the Dallas Cowboys for a couple of decades now, he's fantastic. As he pointed out on Twitter during the game on Thursday night, Zeke's not healthy and everybody but Dallas knows it. I don't know what it is you need to see before you realize, oh, Tony Pollard's just got more burst. It looks different when he's in the game. And it's not to say that there's not a use for Zeke Elliott, because there clearly is. And if they want to implement that two-headed backfield, a la the Cleveland Browns from a year ago with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, why not? Like, if you've got to split up carries, I know contractually you want Zeke to be the every down back and a three down back and be the guy he was a couple of years ago. I don't know if he ever gets to that point, but as of right now, he doesn't look healthy. And it doesn't look like a guy that you can actually rely on, especially in a 17-game season, especially if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're trying to get some sort of a rhythm offensively and figure out what the hell you are. 1 minute you look like a Super Bowl contender, the next minute you look like a team who can't beat the Denver Broncos or a team who just comes up with nothing on the road against Kansas City. It's frustrating, and it got me to think. Watching the game Thursday night, hearing Jerry Jones' comments Friday, and thinking about this team moving forward, I don't know that there's any more frustrating team to be a fan of than the Dallas Cowboys. And there's a lot of frustrating teams out there, and you can immediately point to the bad teams. All right, you can point to teams like the Lions. Well, what about the Lions? You don't think it's frustrating being a Lions fan? Yeah, I guess. But at least you kind of have an understanding of what you are. I mean, at least you know. Like, if it's going to be bad, I'd rather know. Like, let's get this done with. Like, you ever been rooting for a team? You get to a big game and they're getting blown out early and you know, oh, game's over. Well, at least we know. At least we know. Like, I don't need to waste any more of my time. At least we know. It's like in baseball. The most nerve-wracking playoffs in all of sports is baseball, because you're sitting on pins and every pitch has an impact. Like, you watch a baseball game 2 months earlier and a count goes to 3-1 and you're like rifling beers, eating nachos, throwing stuff at your buddy, you know, drawing obscenities on his face because he passed out because he got hair of the dog that morning and was still bombed from the night before. I mean, like a 3-1 count, who cares? 2 months later, a count goes to 3-1 in the postseason, and people turn into borderline drug addicts because they cannot contain themselves. If you're watching those games, don't you want it to be over with early? At least you know. Like, remember the Braves got annihilated a couple years ago? I think they got like beat. They were down 9-0 after an inning or something like that. And I said, man, that's the most stress-free playoff game if you're a baseball fan of all time, because at least you know. So if you're a Lions fan or one of these bad teams like the Jets or somebody like that, at least you kind of know, whatever, season's over, we move on, we hope for something better, but we're good. The Dallas Cowboys are just a flirt. Like, they're a flirt with success and a flirt with disaster. That's it. I mean, think of, let's break this down. They draft well. I mean, you could not like the Dallas Cowboys, but at least give them credit in this regard. They draft well. I mean, Dak Prescott was a mid-round find. He's a franchise quarterback. You could say, well, he's not an elite guy, he doesn't deserve the money. Whatever, man. We did that conversation during the pandemic. It's over with. He got paid. Just like I told you and everybody that understands football and how this stuff works with quarterbacks said, Dak's going to get paid. Stop thinking he's not. Like, he's a franchise quarterback. Like, look at their receiver core. CeeDee Lamb is a stud. Look at their offensive line. Those are guys they drafted. They've got, Dallas is going to have a couple of Hall of Famers from that offensive line. Guys they drafted. Look at the guys on Micah Parsons is having a historic season. Like, look at their secondary. Dallas drafts well. So they draft well. Then when they draft well, they actually do try and make a concerted effort to sign their guys. They don't let them walk or trade them away like the Raiders, who say, nah, we don't need Khalil Mack or Amari Cooper. We're good here. Oops. Dallas is like, no. I mean, we might overpay, but yeah, we want to keep Zeke. We want to keep Amari Cooper when we make a trade for him. We'd like to keep DeMarcus Lawrence. We definitely want to keep Dak. Micah Parsons ain't going anywhere. So from that standpoint, Dallas does it right. They've got coaches who have had success. Mike McCarthy's a Super Bowl winning coach. Super Bowl winning coach. Jason Garrett, for all the talk you want to make about Jason Garrett and he got fired by the Giants, that guy's 18 games over 500 for his career. Like, so the talent is there. It's not like they're in a hard division. The Giants stink. Philly's confusing. And Washington feels like, they're fun. Neat story based on all the other stuff going on. So if you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at this team going, so why is this game against Taysom Hill still close? Like why? Like, he can't help but turn the ball over constantly. He's got an ET finger. He's throwing ducks. And this game's still kind of close. Like, why are we losing to Denver? Why are these? Why can we look the way we look against Atlanta and then come back around and look the way we? Like, why? Why is this happening? And then you think to yourself, oh, because this happens every year. It must be maddening to be a Cowboys fan. Like, you got to be looking, go, what are we? Like, and listen, I if you asked me 4 or 5 weeks ago, hey, who's the team you think can make a run to the Super Bowl in the NFC? Dallas. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, man, I don't know if they're the best team in their division. Like, it is maddening to be a Cowboy fan. Frustrating as all hell, because you don't know what you are. Like, give me something. Are you a good team or a bad team? Are you going to make a playoff? Dallas fans have no clue who they are. And I don't know if it's just that these players and this roster is overhyped or whatever. I don't know what it is. And maybe this goes back to the genius of Jerry Jones, who continues to sell that product constantly. Hits twice a week on radio in Dallas. Always available for post-game sound, even on a holiday. Like, we have the best editing staff, I think, anywhere in radio. These guys bust their ass behind the scenes, right? They bust their ass behind the scenes. I think two or three people spoke after the Cowboys' loss on Thanksgiving, and one of them was Jerry Jones. Ask yourself this, all right? If you're a member of this editing staff or anybody listening, what other owner of an NFL team do you hear from after a holiday loss? It doesn't happen. Jerry Jones is available, though. Where's the mic? Let me get ahead of this. Like, maybe this is what and we all assume Dallas is going to be something they're not, just based on the sell job that Jerry gives us every. I don't know what it is, but I'm looking around the NFL specifically and going, who's the most frustrating team to be a fan of? You're a fan of somebody. Who's the most frustrating team? I think it's Dallas. Because you have no idea who they are. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next, we are going to get into a real problem in the world of sports and beyond. If you are getting set for the holidays, this is a major, major issue. That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, Isaac Lohenkron. Oh, yeah, sorry. Isaac Lohenkron, everybody. Round of applause.
Well, it's not enough for the sound effect of applause. You.
Oh, you know what? Hey, Isaac, can I do that over again?
Yes.
I want to give you the proper credit.
Thank you.
But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the LA Chargers, Isaac Lohenkron. There he is.
Isaac Lohenkron.
How about that? You and Matt Money Smith double barrel action calling the LA Chargers, Isaac.
Daniel Jeremiah, Shannon Farron.
Damn right.
Interesting matchup tomorrow. I actually don't feel too good about how the Chargers match up against the Cincinnati Bengals. That's neither the here nor there. By the way, Jonas, speaking of what you were just talking about, we actually do have Jerry Jones standing by right now for his thoughts on your commentary about him on the last segment. Let's see if we can go to him.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Thank you, Jerry. I apologize, Jerry. I didn't mean. I know you got some holiday shopping. And Andy's available on a Saturday. Who goofed?
Yeah.
You know? Like, in the words of Jim Healy, who goofed? I've got to know.
And you know what? I always like to mess around and joke around here, especially with you, because you bring out the rascal in me. But think about this, Jonas. What other NFL owner has a voice that you or anybody would recognize? If you play just the voice on radio of any other NFL owner, Would anybody be able to recognize anybody but Jerry Jones?
Isaac, I'm telling you, other than Al Davis, has any owner in the history of the NFL been more available to the media than Jerry Jones?
Not even close.
I've never seen anything like it.
Am I still online?
He even has a direct line here to Fox Sports Radio. NFL.
Oh, my God.
A lot of stuff going on, even on this Saturday morning in the NFL. Before Jerry's had his coffee, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Jonas, announcing that they have activated star linebacker T.J. Watt from the COVID list, clearing him to play tomorrow against the Baltimore Ravens. He was originally placed on the COVID list on Monday. Jeremy Fowler has just reported that the Seattle Seahawks will be activating newly signed running back Adrian Peterson off the practice squad for Sunday's game against the San Francisco 49ers. In the NBA, the Charlotte Hornets today placed four players in health and safety protocols: LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Mason Plumlee, and Jalen McDaniels. Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Hornets today sent their players and staff home from their practice facility. And in college football on Friday night, 17th-ranked Utah advanced to the Rose Bowl for the first time ever with a 38-10 victory over 10th-ranked Oregon to the Pac-12 championship game in front of 56,511 at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Jonas, back to you.
Thanks, Ilo. Jonas Knox here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in, we'll call it 12 minutes from now, somebody could be on the verge of a payday, and they are not alone. We will get into all that for you here 12 minutes from now on FSR. Speaking of paydays, as somebody, a little bit of a rant here, all right, as somebody who grew up, you know, maybe not having, you know, we didn't have allowances growing up,
you know, we didn't have, you know, we didn't come from money, right? So we had to always had to have jobs, always had to work odd jobs, things like that, if we wanted to earn some extra cash. And so one of those jobs that you could always depend on every single year at about this time was working at a Christmas tree lot. I mean, talk about, I'll tell you right now, like, I would encourage everybody to work at a tree lot. All right. So just work at one, go through the grind. You're going to smell afterwards. You're going to be full of sap. You're going to have, you know, needles in your socks, all the other things that come along with it. But you earn some tips. You make a little cash. All right. You're out and about. You get to wear a goofy little Santa hat. And it's fun. And it's only temporary. So, you know, when I was playing football in high school, you know, that was one of our, when the season ended, we would go, you know, try and work and make as much money as we could. And then you know, go pursue something else. But working at a Christmas tree lot, it's near and dear to my heart. Iowa Sam, who is our technical producer here on Fox Sports Radio, huge Cyclone fan. You worked at a tree lot as well too, correct?
I did, yeah. Actually, yeah. It was a volunteer though. Every year it was a charity fundraiser I would do, selling Christmas trees. But it's hard work. Yeah, it's fun, but it is hard work, and you are covered in sticky sap by the end of it.
So what do you mean? You did a you didn't get any tips?
No, we gave our tips to the charity. It was called the Optimist Club Christmas Tree Fundraiser.
Yeah, well, they can go somewhere else with that. I work for tips. I'm not doing that for free. Refuse to. But point being, have you seen how much they're charging for Christmas trees?
Oh, yeah. It's
holy
inflation
Christ.
Has hit the Christmas tree market. And then
okay, because it's one of those old things where it's like, oh, until it affects you, you don't really notice. It's like, well, you know, big deal. Oh, there's something. And then all of a sudden, something impacts your life and you go, wait, like, oh, my God. Like Conor McGregor went on this rant on Twitter yesterday about how all of a sudden they're forcing people to get vaccinated and doing all this, you know, COVID stuff. And I promise you, the last time we're bringing up COVID on this show, because I don't want to puke on the air. But it was like, dude, welcome to the club, man. welcome to what a lot of this, you know, debate and conversation has been out here. But until it affects you, you don't notice it. Like, I'm looking around at Christmas tree prices, Sam. I mean, like $80 for a tree. Like, it used to be you could go to a hardware store. Pick a hardware store. I remember 4 years ago, like $25 you get a tree for. That same tree is like $70 now.
Like, yeah, no, back then you could spend $80 and get one of those like 12 foot trees back in the day. Now that you're spending $80, you're getting the 5 to 6 footer.
Back in the day, for $80, you could take home a tree and a reindeer. Now, for $80, you get a 4 footer that goes on your coffee table that dies in 15 minutes.
You get nothing.
What the F, man? Like, I swear to God, I now understand why people do fake trees. I don't think I'll ever do it. I can't. But because there's something about going, picking out a tree. It's fun. You can, like, rotate it out every year. It's like having a new, you know, a girlfriend or wife every Christmas. Like, oh, my God, just rotate them out. You know, conveyor belt. I hope she didn't hear that. Really hope she didn't hear that. But point being, like, you go there, you pick one. It's great. It's fun. $80 for a tree, totally unreasonable. And they know you're going to pay for it, because especially if you bring the kids around, the kids are like, oh, I want that one. It's like, you sure you want that one? What about the one inside that you plug in, you know, that we could use like the next 4 years? No, I want that. It's like, dude, I blows my mind. $80 for a tree.
This is the world we live in, Jonas.
And I didn't notice it until it affected me. Really pissed me off, man. All right, Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. All right, coming up next. Somebody, speaking of prices, speaking of paying, somebody might be getting paid very, very soon, and it could have an impact all over the world of football. We'll get into that for you here, right here on FSR. Little Bill Belichick, that songbird. Your round of applause for Bill Belichick. Christmas caroling here on a beautiful Saturday.
conference championship Saturday. He's got a big game. By the way, speaking of Bill Belichick, coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now, he's doing what he does. He is doing what he does. Some mind games, maybe some manipulation. We're going to get into that next hour here on Fox Sports Radio in regards to one Bill Belichick. Nothing but compliments so far on the show. The guy wrote in something that is so bad. Just so bad. People are really fired up. Now, somebody is telling me that I'm such a big fan of Brian Kelly that I'm going to... I can't finish the rest of that. But you can go to at the Jonas Knox on Twitter and you can check it out for yourself. So people are, in the positive holiday spirit here as we get ready for another hour here on FSR. Speaking of getting ready, somebody could be getting ready to get paid. That somebody is Cliff Kingsbury, who... his name was sort of thrown out there with all these coaches that are getting paid in college football. All these guys, speaking of Brian Kelly, $95 million here. Mel Tucker gets $95 million, then goes out and gets absolutely annihilated by Ohio State. Everybody's getting paid. Everybody in college football seems to be getting paid. Lincoln Riley's getting paid. All of this. And, then Adam Schefter, rolls out, maybe some teams might be interested in Lincoln Riley. Maybe Lincoln Riley could be Cliff Kingsbury could get some love. You know, now that Lincoln Riley has departed and gone on to greener pastures out in Southern California, maybe Cliff Kingsbury could be headed back because, he has done a pretty good job in Arizona. He was brought in there to pair up with Kyler Murray, and those guys together are having some success. And so Adam Schefter, who apparently is Cliff Kingsbury's agent, who threw out the rumor and then followed that up with a couple of pictures of Cliff Kingsbury from the draft sitting at his, mansion or whatever you want to call that in Scottsdale, which, seemed a little bit creepy that Adam Schefter would post those, but never mind. All of a sudden, that conversation started happening. He didn't deny it. Cliff Kingsbury didn't deny it when he was asked about it. The GM of the Cardinals, Steve Keim, he was on the Burns and Gambo show recently in Arizona, and he was talking about how, we don't want to lose Cliff. It's a credit to our organization, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what's happening. The market is shifting. And it's shifting in the direction of pay me, because if you don't, those guys at the lower level will. That's where this is going. And you got to start to seriously ask yourself, if you're an NFL head coach, or you're a guy who wants to, pursue a head coaching job, all of a sudden you're looking around going, which do I prefer? Do I want to be an NFL head coach or do I want to be a college coach? Because the feeling was, in the NFL, it's the highest level and there's only 32 of those. And you're going to, all these guys are getting paid. I mean, Belichick, I think it's $12.5 million. John Gruden, formerly head coach of the Raiders, some stuff happened, apparently, not a very nice guy via email. John Gruden got like $10 million. Guys are getting paid in the NFL. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing these college coaches and they're getting paid. And not only are they getting paid, they're getting 10-year deals. And the buyouts on these deals are crazy. So if you're an NFL guy, you got to be looking around going, all right, do I really want to deal with my job on the line every single season? Or can I go build a program, get somebody who's a great recruiter, name, image, likeness is now about, live in a sweet college town, work that schedule, less games, you're out on the road, like... You got to start seriously asking yourself, which do you prefer? Now, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is going to leave the NFL to go back to college. I don't think that's happening. I think it's the perfect pairing. They I'll give credit to Steve Keim. I was critical when they decided to move on from Josh Rosen and move on from Steve Wilks after a year. I thought it felt like a panic move. It felt like the organization told Steve Keim, who had some issues, a DUI, all the other stuff, like, hey, man, you better figure this out. And they gave him the authority to make a move after a year on not only a head coach, but also a quarterback. It's worked. Like, it actually has worked. The Kingsbury-Kyler Murray pairing has worked. It's a fun watch. Arizona's a fun team. They're the one seed in the NFC right now. And it's worked with backup quarterback play. So give credit to Steve Keim. I think they're going to break out the checkbook. I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to get paid. I think he's making five and change right now. That's probably, if it's not going to be doubled, it's going to get close to being doubled based on the interest and what he's done so far with the Arizona Cardinals. But man, that is a real conversation you got to have, to where I don't know if a lot of guys would be having that conversation. I wonder if Matt Rhule looks around now and goes, I mean, I don't really have a quarterback here, and I'm seeing what those guys, and I was just there, and I had a ton of success. I mean, and Matt Rhule's getting paid, but I just wonder if, upon further review, he looks back at the decision to go to the NFL and thinks to himself, you know, maybe I should go kick the tires on an Oklahoma job or one of these other jobs that could be opening up or still open up. And who the hell knows what's going to happen in Miami, Mario Cristobal, and that whole situation with Oregon. It's going to be a fun ride for a lot of these coaches for the next couple of years. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox on Twitter. Coming up next, somebody is up to their old tricks again, and it is pissing a fan base off. It's yours right here on FSR. So somebody in the NFL is up to the same old tricks, doing the same old things. It is really, really fun to watch because they are in the heads of a fan base. We will get into all of that stuff coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Saturday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up through the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Pacific time, rather, noon Eastern time, right here on FSR. And a lot of people getting fired up for conference championship Saturday. There's a busy weekend in the NFL, but I would say the game of the weekend in the NFL is actually the game that's taken place on Monday night. And it's the game that I think a lot of people are looking forward to because they want to see how for real is one team, right? I mean, if you're for real, we want to know. We got to see this for ourselves because we are skeptical. And that team is the New England Patriots, who are going to be in Buffalo to take on the Bills. And the New England Patriots, and I am on record as saying this weeks ago, Bill Belichick is coach of the year. Coach of the year. Like, I mean, there was a lot of discussion. Cliff Kingsbury, as we talked about last hour, he's going to get some love. I think Belichick is a coach of the year. What he's done with a rookie quarterback and all the conversation and noise and the chatter and the narrative and all the stuff of a man, Tom Brady, this and that. And let's be clear here. A lot of these awards are based on storylines. You know, these, you might find somebody who's got better, quote-unquote, stats, but it doesn't mean they're going to be the MVP. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to win some of these other awards. I think Bill Belichick is hands down the coach of the year, and I'm not jumping on the bandwagon because I said that weeks ago. I've been saying for a while now, they're a two-loss team. Now, they've got four, but the New England Patriots are a two-loss team. I mean, you can say, well, no, that's not the case. And what are you talking? Like, no, I mean, come on. Let's be real about it. I mean, you don't even have to go to the opener that they lost by a point to Miami to go to the game against Tampa Bay in which, you know, Nick Folk missed the field goal at the end. I mean, we're like a few inches away from that being New England winning that game. And all of a sudden, Tom Brady loses on his return to Foxborough. What about the game against Dallas that went to overtime? Like, New England's a four-loss team or a two-loss team disguised with four losses. So this isn't just pretend. This isn't just make-believe and, oh, we are. Like, this is a real football team. And they present problems. And if you're in a close game and New England keeps it close, even in their losses, they keep it close outside of the New Orleans game. They keep all these games close. And you've got Belichick on the sidelines. That's a problem. And you're going to have to deal with it. And I think people are a little bit upset or maybe a little nervous thinking to themselves, they were dead and buried. Tom Brady moved on. He was the secret sauce. He was the secret to their success. Now we don't have to worry about the New England Patriots anymore. Oops. Here they are again. Defense is fantastic. They're creating turnovers. They're getting solid quarterback play. They're running the football. All of a sudden, New England's back. And people want to know, all right, we'll do it on the road against Buffalo. All right, do it on the road against Buffalo. So I believe that Bill Belichick is up to his old tricks. I think Bill Belichick really likes his football team. I think he's really confident about his football team. Because one of the things Belichick does when he's really, really confident is he's overly complimentary. I mean, overly complimentary. To where you're like, man, this guy, I mean, talk about a real breakdown, you know, of what we're looking at here. This is what Bill Belichick said about Josh Allen, who is having a season that I think a lot of people look at as a disappointment based on what he did last year. Still having a pretty good year, but nowhere close to the season he was having last year. And Belichick said this, quote, "His improvement has just been tremendous from where it was 3 years ago. Completion percentage, passing rating, decision-making, production, it's just gone. It's risen at a really remarkable rate. It's just remarkable how good he has become. Last year, this year's built on that. What it was when he came into the league, but he's just made tremendous improvement on and on and on. He doesn't get fooled much by anything. It's really impressive to watch how he's developed here." He also said they rarely run a bad play or where they run into a bad look or a blitz or something like that. I mean, we're talking about how much he's improved, how intelligent he is, how you can't fool him, how nothing's going to trick him or play. Dude, come on. This is Belichick 101. That right there is a guy who's like, yeah, I got this one. I know what to do with this guy. I know just what to do with this guy. That's Belichick 101. Like, if you hear Belichick say those things, I would be concerned. Like, and I'm not saying this just as a Bills fan. Like, look around the AFC. Tell me, who's the team in the AFC you look at and go, nah, man, you don't want to deal with them. That's Bill, I would be very, very fearful of that team in the AFC. Who are they? Baltimore? I mean, with all the injuries, it seemed like they're starting to catch up to Baltimore now with the way Lamar Jackson played the other night. I how do you trust them? We haven't seen in the postseason. Tennessee? I didn't buy into Tennessee for a second when Derrick Henry was healthy. Kansas City, who the hell knows? Cincinnati have never been there. The Chargers, early in the year, it felt like, man, if you're going to have one quarterback for the next 10 years, it's got to be Justin Herbert. And now you're like, but it's great talent, but still need... Like, if I'm New England, if I'm Belichick, I'm looking around the AFC landscape, and I think that's all he's thinking about. Let me just get through the AFC. Let me figure out a way. Maybe I can get home field advantage, get that bye week, which has always been the secret sauce, always the recipe for success in New England, Brady, Belichick or not. When New England had a bye week, they always, always were making deep runs because you just looked at it. It's a numbers game. Play one less game. At least one of those games is going to be at home, if not both, and then you're on to the Super Bowl. I think Belichick looks at this and goes, if I can just get through the AFC, which is more than manageable, I'll deal with whatever the NFC rolls out. Like, I'll take my chances. I've done it my entire career. I'll take my chance. Whoever comes out of the NFC, fine. I'll take my chances on that. But let me just get through the AFC. The fact that he's being that complimentary to Josh Allen, saying all of that and talking about, oh, God, you can't trick him. You can't fool him. The way, like, all of that stuff, that feels like Belichick at total confidence. I think Belichick loves this football team. I think it's part of the reason why he made the decision to move on from Cam Newton and turn the keys over to Mac Jones. Because I think he realized, I've got a good enough team around Mac Jones
that I can deal with some mistakes. If he makes some rookie mistakes, if he turns the ball over, or he, you know, it becomes a problem, or I've got a good enough team that I think I can deal with this, and if we can just go ahead, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and go straight with Mac Jones. I think Belichick identified early in training camp, this is a good football team. The signings they've made have been successful. Matthew Judon's been a stud. Like, the Patriots never dive into free agency. They did this year, and it's worked. They've got arguably the best rookie quarterback of the draft class. I mean, I think everybody, you know, to a man would say, if you did it all over again, you'd probably still take Trevor Lawrence just based on the talent. But Mac Jones has had the best year. It's why he's the overwhelming favorite to win Rookie of the Year. Like, New England's a problem. Bills fans are having panic attacks. They thought to themselves, this is our division now. We've got the franchise quarterback. We've got the deep roster. We're going to be the team you're going to have to deal with for the next 10 years. And New England took 1 year off, a COVID year, with Cam Newton, which, and by the way, still were a 7-9 football team, with opportunities in a couple of games to be a 9-7 team and in contention, or at least threatening for a playoff spot. And Buffalo looked around thinking, man, this is our division. We got this now. We've been the doormat to New England for 20 years. It's our division now. They took 1 year off and they're back. And you've got Bill Belichick ball washing Josh Allen like that before the game. That tells me he's really confident about where this team's at, and he really feels good about where they're going to be at on Monday night. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox, @TheJonasKnox on Twitter. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app as well. Coming up next here on FSR, you do have to ask the question. I mean, it is a feel-good story. Feel-good story through and through. But you do have to ask the question. Was this a panic move? Was it rushed in the world of football? We'll get into all that for you next year on FSR.
I don't have anything to add.
Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Man, the classic Christmas music is so much better than some of this new crap. They bring out some of these like new bands and try and have them do a remake of some classic Christmas song. It's a good one, man. You know, it's like, putting a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on lettuce. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Like, it's not necessary. Just leave it alone.
Yummy! Jeez.
It's a PB&J. Leave it alone. It's a classic for a reason. Unbelievable. By the way, if you're listening to the podcast, you didn't hear that, but it was some classic Christmas song that I was referencing. All right. By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right. So coming up in, we'll call it about a little over 10 minutes from now, we are going to get into a situation in the NFL it was the feel-good story. The feel-good story of the league. I mean, like, everything was coming together. Everybody was happy about it. It was the feel-good story of the league. And then all of a sudden, this happened. We will get into that coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR. So I do have to ask the question. And in all fairness, I do a show, a morning show here with Brady Quinn and LeVar Arrington called Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Just professional sports talk at his best. We keep it all above board. There's no innuendos, no references, to anything else. We don't allude to certain things. We're not trying to cause problems. We're not, dropping hot takes, anything like that. It's just, simple, straight, X's and O's sports talk in the words of Ben Maller, unless it's not anything like what I just described. But Brady was very, very fired up about the situation at Notre Dame, and rightfully so, because the Brian Kelly decision to bail when he did on Notre Dame, and just the manner in which it was handled, was questionable at best. And a lot of people looked at it and said, well, why couldn't you just wait it, dude? Like, why couldn't you, you know, if LSU really was dead set on hiring Brian Kelly and that was going to be their guy, why couldn't Brian Kelly have just told them, hey, I'm in, you know, let's make this happen. We'll try and keep it under wraps. I would still like to coach my team because we have a chance to be in the college football playoff. I find it hard to believe LSU would be like, nope, take it or leave it. Contract expires at midnight. Like, it's not a bomb. Okay, like you could have had some sort of dialogue trying to make this happen and do it in a way in which maybe Brian Kelly could tell his players, he could have signed the contract. The news could have even gotten out and Brian Kelly could have told his players, hey guys, I just want you to know for me first. I'm going to be taking the LSU job, but I've worked with them. I'm committed to you guys through the end of the season. And if our season still continues and we're in the college football playoff, then we can go ahead and we could. That would have been fine. Everybody's got the right to leave when they want to leave. It's the way in which he left. And it's, you know, the people around him that didn't want to leave, I think is pretty telling. You know, like, you got opportunities. Like, if you're Tommy Rees, and you got an opportunity to go be an offensive coordinator in LSU, at LSU with Brian Kelly. Like, to me, if you're looking to grow in your career, that's the move. I mean, that really is the move. Like, if you want to grow in your career, think about it. Tommy Rees could be a Notre Dame lifer and be welcome back there at any time. I mean, like, they love Tommy. He could be welcome back there at any time. If you wanted to take his career to the next level, go to the SEC. Go do it in the SEC where you can, you know, have an opportunity to you know, on a different stage. I don't even want to say a bigger stage, but on a different stage where you can go out there and you can, you know, get on, you know, on a place like that at LSU, play these big time SEC games, be featured against the Alabamas of the world and, you know, the Georgias of the world and all of that stuff, and show your skill set as an offensive coordinator. Look what Joe Brady did. Joe Brady was the OC at LSU. Parlayed that into an offensive coordinator job in the NFL. And there's real conversations that he could end up being an NFL head coach within the next couple of years. Like, so if you're Tommy Rees, it would have made all the sense in the world, career trajectory wise, to go to LSU. He didn't. And Tommy Rees was on a recruiting trip with Brian Kelly in a kid's living room and had no idea Brian Kelly was talking to LSU. No clue. So to see how the people around him and the people at Notre Dame handled it since Brian Kelly left, that tells you all you need to know about how it was done. Not that it was done, but how it was done. And so there's a lot of people that look at it and go, well, you know, you're rooting for Notre Dame. Like, you want to see this happen. Like, you know, Notre Dame comes out and Gary Barta, you know, when the college football rankings come out, Gary Barta comes out, you know, during the broadcast earlier this week. And he goes, well, you know, we do need to take it into consideration that the head coach and all that situation will be taken into consideration. Basically, it's giving the college football playoff committee an out. Basically, it's Gary Barta saying, well, you know, if they don't have a head coach, why would we put him in the college football playoff? Which is complete and total crap. Complete crap. That's a cop-out. It's garbage. That's like saying, hey, you got an injury. Sorry, you can't go to the postseason. Okay, so I guess the Eagles didn't win the 2017 Super Bowl. All right. So sorry, Carson Wentz is injured, guys. You don't qualify for the postseason anymore. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not even logical. And that's what he was hinting at. Now, he can't say that outright, but that's what he was hinting at. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people realize it. Now, before the actual permanent decision was made, we were having the discussion earlier this week, myself, Brady, and LeVar. And I said, look, if you're trying to create storylines, why wouldn't you put Notre Dame in? Like, Gary Barta comes out and says, well, they're not going to be invited in, you know, basically alluding to it. Why wouldn't you put Notre Dame in? You're telling me people around the country aren't looking at Notre Dame going, man, they got screwed. Let's rally around that team that got screwed over by their head coach who left them
to take another job because he didn't feel like they were worthy enough or good enough to win a national title. And he couldn't get one done there because that's the last thing he needs to do on his career because of his resume. So that's why he went to LSU. If the team that he left at the altar ends up going to the college football playoff, you're telling me that's not a storyline? Of course it is. And if you're going to try and deny the fact that we sell storylines, you're crazy. I mean, think about the Eagles. It was all about Nick Foles, backup quarterback, was out of the league. You remember all the stories. Oh, my God, he was almost out of football, and he wanted to give it all up, and then he got talked into coming back in, and then the Eagles haven't won a Super Bowl. It's all about storylines, so it makes all the sense in the world. But unfortunately, the College Football Playoff Committee, they come out and make a comment like that, and they hint at, we do have to take that stuff into consideration. So you do have to ask yourself this, as feel-good of a story as it is, and as much as people are happy for Marcus Freeman, Tommy Rees staying there, Notre Dame with the way that they've rallied, and all the stuff that they've had to deal with the way Brian Kelly left, and the fact that Marcus Freeman got the job, and he's a guy that people love at Notre Dame. You see the videos, they're excited about it, they love him at Notre Dame, great recruiter, great reputation, people love Marcus Freeman. You do have to ask yourself this question, though. If they weren't in the hunt for a college football playoff spot, would he have been the hire? And I honestly believe the answer is no. I think that, and they could never say this, but I think that there would be other candidates that they would look at, whether it be a Matt Campbell or Luke Fickell or somebody like that, that they would be looking at and more strongly considering. I don't want to say that this was a rush hire or a panic hire or a decision that they made because they were under the gun thinking, oh, my God, we don't want to miss out on a potential. Because, look, it's not that far-fetched that Notre Dame gets into the playoff. Like, it really isn't. Like, you could just look around. You need a couple of things to happen. You need Georgia to beat Alabama, all right? Because if Alabama beats Georgia, Georgia's staying in. So you're going to have two SEC teams in. So you need Georgia to beat Alabama because Alabama's out with two losses. All right, so you need that to happen. Well, Georgia's favored, as we mentioned, and Alabama's an underdog for the first time since 2015. So it's likely that Georgia's going to beat Alabama. So that's one. If Baylor beats Oklahoma State, I mean, that's not that crazy, is it? That game's kicking off in like a half hour. That's not that crazy that Baylor would beat Oklahoma State. So all of a sudden you're looking around going, okay, well, the team in front of Notre Dame is Oklahoma State, and they lost. And then you've got, Alabama who's out. So that leaves a spot open, and we're sitting at six. And, people can say, well, yeah, but you didn't play this weekend, so why should you be considered? And God forbid Iowa beats Michigan. Now you're going to probably need two teams to fill the... It's not crazy. It's not far-fetched that Notre Dame would get in. I just wonder if Notre Dame was sitting at 10 or 12 or 16 in the rankings, is Marcus Freeman the head coach right now? And I'm skeptical that that would be the hire. And look, this could end up being a great hire. They get burned. They got to turn to a plan B. Maybe it's a little bit of a rush decision, and they have success with it. The Indianapolis Colts did the same thing. Josh McDaniels, they felt like burned him. Now, I blame Indianapolis for running with a press release and going on Twitter and saying, we'd like to welcome our new head coach, Josh McDaniels. Guy hadn't even signed the contract yet. And then Bob Kraft pulled Josh McDaniels aside and said, hey, listen, man, we can't say this publicly because of the Rooney rule, but you're our guy when Bill steps down. We're going to pay you a great sum as a coordinator, but you're going to be the guy when Bill steps down. And Josh McDaniels is like, well, I mean, at least I have stability. I don't want to deal with the crap I had to deal with in Denver and then bounce around to St. Louis and all the other stuff he had to go through. And so Indianapolis was scrambling, looking for a head coach, and they're like, all right, well, I guess we'll hire Frank Reich. And guess what? Great hire. Frank Reich's done a great job with spotty quarterback play and injuries and all the other stuff he's dealt with.
So it doesn't mean this is going to be a bad hire, but it does feel like it was a panic move by Notre Dame, who looked and said, if we were further out in the rankings, maybe we wait and make a hire in a different direction, like a Campbell, like a Luke Fickell or somebody like that. But they kept it in-house to show that they're stable, they're ready to compete for if the committee comes knocking on the door, they can say, we've got our coach, we're ready to go, put us in the playoff. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next, this is one of the most fascinating declines in the NFL. We're going to get into all that for you next here on FSR. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, round of applause.
Yes.
For the great, for the powerful, for the wise, Isaac Lohenkron.
Much better than your earlier first hour introduction. There's hope for you yet. Congratulations, Jonas.
Thank you. Or as the in-laws would say, gracias.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. How are the in-laws, by the way? How's your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, who cares?
We're
getting ready for... We're getting ready for... Sam, you are a
Don't you think that all the people who have sent such polite, supportive tweets at the Jonas Knox would want to know how your Thanksgiving was?
Well, see, now in the Mexican culture, just want to be clear here. I'm not Mexican, but the in-laws are, so I don't want anybody to go, well, Knox, wait, what? Like, the in-laws are, but tradition on Christmas Eve, it's tamale night. So they hand make tamales from scratch.
Wow.
And I don't know if you're a tamale fan, but it is one of the delicacies of the holidays.
Yeah.
To where they literally the entire thing from scratch, and you get over there and they're just in this big tub. And
Have the tub, and steel tub, right?
Yeah, yeah, have to. And we'll be I will be bringing those into Fox Sports Radio, Ilo.
So
hopefully we'll be together, and I can bring in some tamales, and we can wine and dine without the wine.
Well, let me know. I will. What do you mean without the wine? Well, let me know. I'll bring in my my famous black bean brownies here to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, yeah.
Better than actual brownies. I'm calling my shot right now.
Wait, hold on. That's a real thing?
Yes, and they're better than actual brownies and healthier.
Are you vegan?
No. I'm vegan Afino, which is vegan except for In-N-Out. Yeah. That is actually a thing.
That is a real thing.
A lot of things going on this morning, Jonas, in the National Football League. The Pittsburgh Steelers announcing they've activated star linebacker T.J. Watt from the COVID list, so that clears him to play tomorrow against the Ravens. He was originally placed on the COVID list on Monday. Jeremy Fowler reports the Seahawks will be activating newly signed running back Adrian Peterson off the practice squad for their game tomorrow against the 49ers. Sad news from the NFL. Pro Football Hall of Fame defensive end Claude Humphrey passed away last night at the age of 77. Humphrey played 14 seasons from 1968 to 1981 with the Falcons and Eagles. He was a 5-time All-Pro and a 6-time Pro Bowler. In the NBA, the Charlotte Hornets today placed 4 players in health and safety protocols. LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Mason Plumlee, and Jalen McDaniels. Adrian Wojnarowski adding that the Hornets today sent their players and staff home from their practice facility. College football coming up at the top of the hour. Kickoff of the Big 12 championship game from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. 9th-ranked Baylor against number 5 Oklahoma State. Just picturing the tailgating scene in the parking lot, hoping they have tamales there inspired by your in-laws, Jonas. And that's the thing. Tamales at a chain restaurant, no thanks. But like you said, from scratch. Stainless steel tub, I'm all for it.
Scratch. And it's kind of one of those things, too, to where, look, they're going to be good regardless, but you got to pull them right out. It's like you mentioned the In-N-Out fries. If you wait a minute and a half to get into your fries from In-N-Out. I've told people this. It's like eating a cadaver's finger. Like, it's just not. It's not appetizing.
He said authoritatively.
Yeah, you know, we've talked.
that analogy was a little too right on the nose.
Yeah,
okay.
I got a thing about dead bodies. Yeah, I do. I got to get a life. Man.
I'm gonna go this check your mentions after that one.
This is just terrible. Thank you, Ilo. The great Isaac Lohenkron. Phenomenal job filling in for the great Matt Money Smith calling the Chargers games. Hey, by the way, Ilo, dream come true, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I was so excited when
when
it was announced that you got to do those games, because you've been busting your ass for a long time, and is get to do an act, like do the play-by-play of an NFL game. That's rarefied air. There's not a lot of those jobs out there that are available until you get to do it. It's awesome.
Thank you. And to segue to the portion where we scratch each other's backs on this, again, congratulations to you for your full-time show during the week. I mean, I remember you when you first started here. You started it, as Drake would say, we started at the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, you worked your way up, and I'm really, really, really proud of you.
No, I appreciate it.
Well deserved.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. That's it's been a lot of fun and a lot of good times, and hopefully the good times roll on here. We'll have continue to have fun.
Wahoo!
Now I'm gonna go change the vibe by looking at your mention just to remind myself of what the people think of you.
Go.
Yeah, just see how poisoned today's youth is on social media. That's always a good move. All right. By the way, coming up in about 10 minutes from now, we are gonna have some Knox Locks. If you're wondering, you're probably driving around, maybe doing some shopping, either that or you're being dragged to a mall somewhere that you don't want to be at, which let me just say this. One of the great sights, if you've ever worked at a restaurant inside a mall, and I have, I worked at a TGI Fridays inside a mall for years. I was a busboy. One of the great sights is seeing the guy in his 30s or 40s, usually in his 40s, bellied up to the bar top with a drink in one hand and a bag of clothes or toys or whatever was bought that he wanted no part of in the other. A guy who probably just told his wife, hey, I'm going to go run these to the car, I'll be right back. And then stops into the bar, slams a Jack and Coke double, and then goes back to his shopping because he's so miserable. So if you see that guy out and about, or you are that guy, I just want you to know I'm thinking of you, right? I'm thinking about you because I know what you're going through. All right. Who cares? We move forward. The LA Rams are probably going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's probably going to happen. I'm just saying this now. Now, they will not be featured in my Knox Locks, basically because the line is too big. I don't trust, you know, a 13, 14-point betting line in this spot. And Jacksonville has shown that they can play at least somewhat competitive football from time to time. But I feel like LA is going to get back on track. They're going to get a win. The Rams are going to be fine. They're going to beat the Jaguars. They're going to be 8-4. They're going to be entrenched in the playoff picture in the NFC. All of it is going to be great. It's wonderful. Here's what's not wonderful. What has happened there over the past several weeks? And it's so weird. It's weird. Because I could have sworn that once they got rid of Jared Goff, everything was going to be fine. I'm confused. Like, I was told Jared Goff was the problem. You got to move on from Jared Goff. I mean, never mind the fact that you went to a Super Bowl with Goff. You went to multiple playoff games with Goff. You won a playoff game with Jared Goff with one hand last year in Seattle. You were competitive in a playoff game at Lambeau with Jared Goff in the same one hand last year. Never mind all that. He bailed you out after your starting quarterback, John Wolfer, got knocked out like a minute and a half into a playoff game. He bailed you out, but never. It's his fault. Goff is gone. We're fine. That's all we needed to do. Matt Stafford's here. Everything's fine. I mean, Matt Stafford was the MVP favorite for weeks. I mean, the feel-good story of feel-good stories. It was the Lions' fault. It was Jared Goff's fault. Match made in heaven. Sean McVay finally has a quarterback. Hands across America. Violins out for Sean McVay and his inability to get this team over the hump because of the talent deficit. You gotta be kidding me. I mean, I said it at the time. Dude, maybe Goff isn't the problem. Like, I know we want to do... But, like, there is a constant theme here. I mean, they got rid of a bunch of assistants. You know, like, oh, well, you know, it's Wade Phillips' fault. We gotta make some changes. We got to get some other guys in here. Okay, so you get rid of a bunch of assistants. All right. Still no Super Bowl. Oh, no. It's Todd Gurley's fault. Yeah, we got to get rid of Todd Gurley and that knee that just couldn't hold up. Once we get rid of Todd Gurley, everything is going to be fine. Okay, well, you got rid of Todd Gurley, and still no Super Bowls. No. It's Jared Goff's fault. All right, Jared Goff is a problem. Got to get rid of Jared Goff. He's the issue. Okay, you got rid of Jared Goff, and then you've lost three straight, and you don't look too hot. At some point, maybe you start knocking on some other doors. Like, hey, so maybe it's this that's the issue. Because I heard from a lot of people out here in LA, man, now we got a real quarterback. Finally have a real quarterback. Okay. This is how you know that you're striking a nerve. This is what people like to do. Because there's a lot of people that are, and I'm trying to think of a better word, but this is all that comes to mind. A lot of people are, what is it? Dumb. Huh, well, look at what Jared Goff's doing in Detroit. Okay, let's do a little mix match here. Put Matt Stafford on that Lions team. How many wins they got? Exactly. This team is flawed. There's something not right. You can sell it all you want. Troy Aikman talked about it this week in an interview. Man, these super teams, like, it doesn't work. Like, you try and put these super teams together, it usually doesn't work in the NFL. In fact, hard to find the team that it did work with. This is what they are. I didn't buy into it. I didn't think that Jared Goff was the quote-unquote issue. And it feels like what we've seen the last 3 weeks might be a prelude to the up-and-down finish to the season that we're going to see. And all that being said, they're going to blow out Jacksonville tomorrow, so everybody's going to be back on the bandwagon. That's the way this game goes when people cover the NFL. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox. Coming up next, it is Knox Locks. If you are looking for some winners, if you are looking for red-hot NFL picks, do not go anywhere. They're yours right here on FSR. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up a little over 10 minutes from now, it's another edition of Up On Game. Little different feel to Up On Game this Saturday. LeVar Arrington, my guy, he's my radio wife during the week. He's fooling around on me on the weekends, apparently. LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plexico Burress, and also Ryan Bershinger, all in Las Vegas.
Get loose.
Live from Las Vegas. Man, Ryan Bershinger in Las Vegas, that's a horrendous idea. You could just see that guy passed out at a penny slot machine in about 3 hours. Chicken finger crumbs all over his shirt. Reeking of IPAs. Damn fine executive producer, though. So make sure you check out those guys. That'll be a fun listen coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on FSR. By the way, if you missed any of this show, you can check out the podcast. That'll be up shortly on foxsportsradio.com. But right now, it is time for this.
Hey, lock it.
Let's lock in.
And now, Knox Locks.
Now, if you're just tuning in and you're thinking to yourselves, what the hell is Knox Locks? Or as Brady Quinn likes to do, he leaves out the N in Knox and then calls it that. And you can sound that out on your own. I don't want to go there because I'm not trying to get fired. But if you're wondering what Knox Locks is, during my weekend overnight show, I make picks, NFL picks. And if you're thinking to yourselves, man, you must be a professional gambler. You worked on Straight Outta Vegas. You gamble yourself. You've been talking about sports betting for years and years and years, even way before it was cool. You must know what the hell you're doing. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I refuse to become one of those people. So what we do is we go through, I pick three games every single NFL week. And so far on the season, I'm 28-1. All right, so I got 20 wins, 8 losses, and 1 push on the year in Knox Locks, which brings us to the Week 13 edition.
Cardinals and Bears.
The Arizona Cardinals are a 7.5-point favorite at Chicago. This is a 1 Eastern time kickoff on Fox. And I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears. And here's why. I believe that the Arizona Cardinals might be making a mistake bringing back Kyler Murray in the fashion they are. Kyler Murray has been out with this high ankle sprain. And you're going to roll him out first game back at Soldier Field against Chicago in 30-degree weather
on that turf, which is awful. It's routinely considered maybe the worst surface in all the NFL, and they're bringing Kyler Murray out for that. A lot of people look at Justin Fields being out of the game and Andy Dalton starting and the stuff the Bears are going through and thinking to themselves, oh my God, Andy Dalton instead of Justin Fields, the Bears are going to get killed. I would argue, as it stands right now, Andy Dalton is a better NFL quarterback than Justin Fields. I don't trust Kyler Murray's health being brought back in this spot. I think it's a mistake. I like the Bears getting 7.5 points at home.
White 80. White 70.
49ers at Seahawks.
I'll be honest with you. This is strictly a gut feeling. I don't feel great about it. I'm probably going to lose this, but I actually should be credited with the win if I do lose because I'm calling it ahead of time. I like Seattle getting the 3.5. All right. Seattle's a 3.5 point underdog at home. And all I keep thinking to myself is, look, I know Russ's finger's a little mangled and he's not playing all that well. And Seattle looks like they got problems, but at some point they're going to win a game, right? I like the 49ers. They've turned their season around. I just still think they're a flawed football team. I don't buy into them. And in a division game, I know it's a short week, but at home, when Seattle needs it, I still think there's some Super Bowl pedigree on there, most notably Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, even though I think they hate each other. I'm going to roll the dice here. Give me Seattle plus 3.5.
White 80. White 70.
Patriots and Bills.
Listen, I said it earlier, the fact that Bill Belichick ball washed Josh Allen like he did this week tells me he's really confident about where his team is at. I think New England gets it done on the road, but I don't even need him to get it done. They're a 3-point underdog at Buffalo. I'll take the Pats plus the 3. And that is your Week 13 edition of Knox Locks. Damn right, man. And if I go 0-3, screw you. That's my philosophy. This has been a fun show for Iowa Sam, Bo Benson, and Isaac Lohenkron up on game next here on FSR.